Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you are watching and listening to Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Lots to talk about today. We must talk about what happened in Las Vegas and the possible aftermath of that going forward. Where do we go from here? What do the powers that be have in mind for the entire planet? Because I believe, unfortunately, that Las Vegas was just an opening salvo. Prior to the end of the last commentary, I wanted to mention that I felt something big was in the wind. I thought something was going to happen. I felt it in my bones. I just never got around to mentioning it because I just kept talking about other things, and then time ran out for my commentary and I had to sign off. But what I wanted to say was I felt that something was going to happen since Yom Kippur, the Jewish holiday, was coming up. And for those of you familiar with history, you think of the October War, the Yom Kippur War of October 1973, etc., etc. I felt something was coming up. And then we have this incident in Las Vegas that happens at a so-called harvest festival, music festival, celebrating the Christian harvest. And that whole thing is an oxymoron. If you are familiar with the whole concept of the harvest, the harvest moon, and I don't even like to use the term pagan, because all pagan really means is pre-Christian, right? So by referring to something as pagan, you're automatically being critical or demonizing even excuse me, cultures and civilizations that long preceded Christianity, and with a dismissive, oh, they're just pagan, right? But a lot of these festivals, like the Harvest Festival, etc., long predate Christianity. It was just that Christianity, mostly Christian Zionism, took up these festivals and made it their own. And so now you have countless Christians going to these harvest festivals. It's like, harvest for what? You know, there are souls or something? I'm not making light of it, folks, but, you know, I mean, people really need to put some thought into what they invest their spiritual and emotional and mental energy into. So, it's this harvest festival, a music festival going on in Las Vegas. And if you've seen the Kill Zone, where all this took place, it was within a stone's throw of a very large pyramid. I mean, the whole thing has all the trappings, all the hallmarks of a large sacrificial offering. And it happens at a harvest festival right around the time of shortly after Yom Kippur. And the official story has more holes in it than a Swiss cheese. I mean, we really don't even need to go into all the details, all the hair splitting about why it's wrong. But if you just look at some of the basic facts, we're supposed to believe that, what, like a 64-year-old guy is going to haul up, you know, to his room on the 32nd floor, all these suitcases full of weapons, all the ammo, all the automatic weapons, all the magazines. And no, I don't think it happened that way. And not once he was stopped by a hotel detective. Not once he was seen hauling all this stuff up again and again and again on closed circuit TV. None of that happened. Not once a maid stumbled in upon his armory there on the 32nd floor. And how the hell did he manage to, like, create an opening in reinforced glass. I mean, even in your average three-star hotel, you have some pretty solid glass windows. Sometimes they're double paned, right? And for those of you who've been to Las Vegas and you've looked out those windows and you see just how thick they are, we're supposed to believe that this guy cut a hole through these windows to provide a means for him to shoot down at the crowds below. And that was not noticed by the hotel staff. That was not noticed by CCTV. Everything about it is ridiculous. And I've heard the audio. There's more than one shooter. Absolutely. I think they mentioned the 32nd floor just for Masonic purposes, just for, like, you know, kind of a nod and a wink to their fellow conspirators out there to let them know that, hey, this is us doing it again, like they really need to tell anybody. I mean, at least tell their co-conspirators. So they just threw the 32nd floor out there for Masonic purposes. But I've heard the audio. There's definitely more than one shooter. And these weapons are full automatic. And now they're going after, predictably, semi-automatic weapons because of how easily they can be converted to shoot all these rounds off. Complete nonsense, right? So you have multiple shooters, and I've heard the multiple shooters on the audio. And then I've seen video of one of the shooters shooting out of the fourth floor. The fourth floor would have more of a flat, horizontal plane to shoot at. So if they're shooting at a crowd, there's more likelihood they'll hit people because of the crush of people there. Even though you miss some people, you're likely to hit people from behind your targets, right? There's redundancy, so to speak. Whereas if you're shooting plunging fire down from the 32nd floor, you're not likely to hit as many people. And this could be one of those hybrid false flags like Manchester, where it's possible, certainly possible, there were real victims, sadly. But what the lamestream media has chosen to do, and I see it as a definite pattern, they put out these photographs at the scene. This is my little selenite here. They put these photographs out from cameramen who happened to be at the scene. And when you look at these photographs, your BS detector goes on full tilt, okay? They're showing people at this Harvest Festival kind of like running upright, and, you know, you don't have to be like a combat veteran to know that you either do two things, pretty much. You run as fast as you can to cover, or you crouch and move and scoot as fast as you can to get the cover, or you find dead ground, defilade, someplace to hide behind relative to where the firing is coming from. But you look at the photos, you know, spewed out by CNN, these people are just standing there, these people are just, you know, kind of like fully upright, moving in a direction towards the camera. You don't see any bodies laying around, you don't see pools of blood, etc., etc. That's not to say people weren't killed. It could be a hybrid false flag where people were really killed, but everything is sanitized. The only photos you see, you know, smack of fraud and fakery. And what happens with that is it sets off all these armchair conspiracy theorists out there, like, foaming at the mouth. Oh, look, you know, this ad for, like, crisis actors. This crisis actor was used in a previous photo shoot. Oh, look, you know, there was a drill that happened, right? That just drives him into a frenzy. Really? You know what I mean? Because they can't see the forest for the trees. And it also shows a callous disregard to the potential loss of life that could have happened at this event. Right, I'm satisfied, sadly, that people were killed in Manchester because, like I said, I had friends that were there on site. Well, not on site, but in the city, in the nearby environs, in Manchester and nearby communities. And they know people that were killed or turned up missing. Right? So something like that could have happened at Vegas again, where people really were killed. We can never trust the media reports of the killed and the number of wounded, the overall casualties, et cetera, because they're the media, right? And then to kind of throw chaff to the winds to try to kind of, create fodder for all the people out there always looking for hoaxes, they deliberately put out a stream of pictures, which makes you scratch your head, right? Now, instead of spinning our wheels about this, that, or the other facet and going into like hair splitting mode, oh, is it a hoax? Is it real? Right? I'm not going to worry about that. I feel that if people were killed, we ought to respect that. We ought to feel sorrow, not wallow in pity and misery and like wailing and gnashing and whatnot, but recognize, hey man, these sewer scum are shooting for all the marbles. So why wouldn't they kill people in real life and then put out a stream of like BS photographs to make all these researchers and others go foaming at the mouth, screaming hoax, 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 no one was killed, right? And we've seen them do this before. And remember, I'm satisfied that events such as Sandy Hook and the Boston Marathon were completely hoaxed events. Not a single person were harmed, though maybe somebody cut themselves when, a crisis actor laid on the ground and skinned their kneecap or something, okay? But as far as real fatalities, real serious injury sustained by, no, it didn't happen. That was all fake. Just like elements of this whole Las Vegas shooter, lone wolf thing. Oh, and I'll get to the Philippine connection in a moment, right? That has elements of fakery that's so blatant. And now we're hearing about like these Ocean's 11 kind of aspects where this guy, he must be some kind of Houdini for bringing up all this weaponry and ammunition and et cetera up to his room, not being noticed in doing so. And then some of the stories I'm hearing, he somehow disabled all these CCTV cameras. I mean, that's Ocean's 11 Hollywood scripting, okay? And that only works on dumb people who watch too much TV. So I do feel that my feeling, and you don't have to believe this, my feeling is it may be a hybrid event where real people were killed, but they just continue to spew out these photos of, crisis actors and photos taken from ridiculous perspectives, ridiculous angles, which show people that do not seem to be under stress or do not seem to be experiencing high anxiety. I think that's done deliberately to throw people off the trail, right? Get them spinning their wheels. And instead of splitting hairs, we should be asking ourselves, okay, what does this mean going forward? And this is why I kind of likened it to Yom Kippur, because, okay, let's do a little bit of a rewind here, right? And this may seem like I'm running off at a tangent, but I think it bears some relevance as far as world financial markets are concerned, world economics and whatnot. The Yom Kippur War happened in the wake of, that was in 73, October 73. In 71, Richard Nixon and or his minders, i.e. Henry Kissinger, people like that, they took the US dollar off the gold standard, which created shockwaves throughout the world. Because since 1944, the Bretton Woods agreements, the US dollar had been pegged as the world currency, right? Basically. And the reason it was the world currency with which other foreign currencies pegged the value of their currencies vis-a-vis or to the US dollar was because the US dollar was backed by gold, $35 an ounce. So $1 was worth like 1/35th of an ounce of gold. And so all these countries around the world, they traded and they did a lot of their transactions in the US dollar because it was looked at as being stable, right? But as time went on, massive US spending, the rise of the warfare state on the one hand, the welfare state on the other, and the fact that these countries can demand to, return their US dollar hoards back to the US and demand their gold back in return. And the fact that the US's gold reserves was not keeping up with the amount of debt it was incurring on a daily basis. Remember, the rise of the warfare state, the rise of the welfare state running in parallel. Well, it just was not sustainable because they weren't able to print as much money as they wanted to, et cetera, to finance their far-flung empire, everything else. So Nixon took the US off the gold standard. He took the dollar off the gold standard, rather. And then what Kissinger and the US Treasury Department did was create the petrodollar recycling scheme, okay? And there's relevance here. I'm getting to that. So the US dollar is no longer pegged to gold, right? So it has no backing. There's nothing of intrinsic value backing the US dollar anymore. So now it is a fiat currency. They can print as much of it as they want, but that wasn't enough for them. What they did at that point was, and you probably heard this before, but it bears repeating, the petrodollar scheme was they prevailed upon the Saudis first as like the major oil producer of the world. Look, we'll provide you military backing, military trainers, military security, et cetera, and here's the deal. It's you only make oil transactions, not only with us, the US, okay, or them, the US, or whatever, but the rest of the world. You only make oil transactions in US dollars. So if another country says, like say Norway or some other country that's an oil importer, Germany, Japan, somebody wants to buy oil from Saudi Arabia, they can't do it in German marks, they can't do it in Japanese yen, they have to do it in US dollars. And the Saudis went along with that. Why shouldn't they? And this compelled all these other countries to, convert a lot of their hard cash into US dollars in order to not only conduct their transactions for oil purchases, but all other major transactions globally was denominated in US dollars. And that wasn't even the end of it. The excess profits, the Saudis, and later, within a year or two, all of OPEC, oil producing, exporting countries, all of them were also doing all their transactions in dollars. And the deal with Saudi Arabia was that excess money, the profits left over, please recycle that. Buy US debt notes, US Treasury notes, thereby financing the US national debt. So follow the bouncing ball. It's like, 1944 Bretton Woods Agreement, US dollar backed by gold, forcing all these other countries to, peg their currency relative to the value of the US dollar, which rumor was, one US dollar was worth 1/35th of an ounce of gold because gold was pegged at $35 an ounce. That went on until 1971 when Nixon took the US off the gold standard. And then shortly after that, they created this Saudi Arabia petrodollar scheme, right? Which what had made the US dollar relevant. And then, follow the bouncing ball, here comes the Yom Kippur War, 1973 October War. And Kissinger, in his usual slithery reptile way of doing things, manipulated. I think I read this in F. William Engdahl's book, A Century of War, or whatever it's called. Excellent book about, oil and all that. And it's either in his book or someone else's, but they describe Kissinger as saying to the Saudis, and in particular, but also to the, other oil-producing countries, said, we're going to support Israel because that's what we do, right? And please, we just beg you, don't impose an oil embargo on us. Kind of like reverse psychology, right? And, the Saudis, whether they were hoodwinked or not, I don't really know the details behind that. Maybe they thought, that's a good idea. Let's impose an oil embargo on the U.S. and all the other countries that are helping Israel in this 1973 October war. So overnight, depending on your source, a barrel of oil goes from $1 to $8, and according to other sources, from $3 to $12. Either way, that's a quantum leap. Okay? And the way the media played it out, the Zio-controlled media, it was like, oh, those evil, scary Arabs, they're at it again. This is why you have all these long, lines at the gas stations, because, they've enforced this embargo on the U.S. and there's not enough gas, and that's why everyone's lining up the gas pumps. And I remember those days. But what really happened was that overnight, that quantum leap in the price of a barrel of oil, that was a huge windfall in profits. You see, because of the petrodollar scheme anyway, not only were the Saudis, buying up U.S. treasuries, essentially refinancing the U.S. national debt, but they were also sticking a lot of their money in Western banks, right? So it was like a scratch my back, scratch your back scenario. And then come the oil embargo and the price goes through the roof, who does that benefit? Well, it benefits like the, Rockefeller Standard Oil group. It benefits the major banking cartel because they've got money tied up in all this stuff. So they made a huge profit. And then prices of oil and gasoline was just incrementally gone higher and higher. Okay, so here's the point of relevance. Nowadays we see, like these BRIC nations, they've got their own basket of currencies and they're setting things up so if the petrodollar ever does fall, that they're going to have their own kind of thing to work with. And, some people see it as a counterpoint to the Rothschild Zionist Rothschild banking empire. But, after a lot of research and checking out reputable websites and doing a lot of reading, yeah, it's like the way I see the BRIC setup now, it's just there. It's been set up by the same Zionist Rothschild types that when the petrodollar finally goes into its death throes and finally dies, right? They have this other system already set up, i.e., the BRIC, the BRICS, right? So what I see is that they're going to get one last hurrah out of the US petrodollar. They're going to squeeze as much out of that baby as they can before the whole global economic financial system wobbles like jello and the petrodollar dies, as, goes into its death throes, and then there's the BRIC setup waiting in the wings, not as a counterpoint, not as good guys versus bad guys, but as the Zionist Rothschild Empire is saying, okay, we're done with the U.S. economy, we're done with the U.S. As a nation, doing our bidding, we don't need them anymore, just kind of like because China is getting stronger by the hour, by the day, and just as Netanyahu told Jonathan Pollard to spy, he said something to the effect that, when we're going to get out of the U.S. what we want, and then it can just dry up and blow away. He said words to that effect. Jonathan Pollard was that spy, worked for the U.S. Navy.
at the Anti-Terrorist Alert Center in Suitland, Maryland. And that's how they see the US, as they want to like core it out until it's like a dried up, irradiated husk with all these leaking nuclear power plants all over the place, overrun with all these jihadists, gun control, everything else. So, yes, this has got everything to do with gun control in America, what happened in Las Vegas. But there's also like a global financial element behind it, because the only thing that'll keep the petrodollar going is an expansion of these wars. Like, you look at the countries that try to get away from the petrodollar, right? Syria, Venezuela, Iran, Iraq. What else do they have in common? They're either been utterly destroyed by the US being, the muscle man of the Rothschild Zionist, the enforcer, or they've been thoroughly destabilized, demonized. Every country that's trying to go its own way. Libya, North Korea, doesn't matter. Every time they try to stray off the reservation, they get hammered. And this warfare welfare state that I mentioned before, it's like, when I look at it now, and I regard the universities, the school system, which is just a joke anyway, just designed to turn people into automatons, designed to just turn people into blithering idiots. And then, and on top of that, accept all this gender bending and accept all these gender studies and accept it as the norm, right? It's bad enough they're forcing Common Core on students at, an early age. They shouldn't even be in school when they're like 4, 5, 6 years old. They should be out playing in the woods somewhere. They should be like learning how to plant a tree or, learning how to like plant a garden, right? Instead, they got him in a classroom. It's all indoctrination, getting hammered from every different direction, ideologies, dogmas, acquiescence, just drumming the individuality out of them. And then you look at the millennials, you look at the university students, just how brainwashed they are. To me, it's the other side of the coin, cut from the same cloth, so to speak, as as part of this welfare state, they are. So many of these students taking out crushing student loans just to get brainwashed, just to get all this dogma and ideology fed into them, right? And they don't realize it. They don't realize that was that's what it's all about. Not to teach them free enterprise and entrepreneurialism and how to create, sustain, and expand your own business. No, it's all about creating generations of worker bees who just, blindly follow orders. So you have the welfare state and the warfare state, militarist state, rising in parallel. That's unsustainable. They just cannot keep that going indefinitely. Something has to give, right? And now, interesting harvest. Festival, Hurricane Harvey, I don't know, maybe I'm just being conspiratorial or something, just, But meanwhile, all these people are suffering in Puerto Rico, no help in sight. They're suffering. Not many people realize it outside of America, and not even many Americans realize it, but Puerto Ricans are, they're under the stewardship. They're essentially US citizens, right? Because they're part of the Commonwealth that the US took over as a result of the 1898 Spanish-American War, which was, remember, created by a false flag, the blowing up of the battleship USS Maine in Havana Harbor. That was the justification for going to war against Spain and going after Spain's far-flung global domains, the Caribbean, the Philippines, and the Pacific. That was it. The reason Puerto Rico is under U.S. control is a direct result of imperialism. It is a direct result of false flags. Nobody is shedding any crocodile tears for the people in Puerto Rico. Out of sight, out of mind. Oh, the poor people in Florida. Yeah, what happened to the people in Puerto Rico? Where's all these social justice warriors when you need them? Why aren't they screaming about, why don't you help the people? Well, I'll tell you what may happen. I mean, if Las Vegas didn't happen, they would have spun out Puerto Rico as an example. Oh, Trump's not doing enough. He's a racist. He should be helping all the people in Puerto Rico, but he's not because he's a racist. And you consider the large Puerto Rican population in the East Coast of the US, New York City, places like that. And then you just sprinkle in some agitprop communist agitators, right? Yeah, you can see that that's kind of like a tinderbox, a powder keg waiting to go off, right? So that's happening in parallel to what's going on with Las Vegas and what's coming on the heels of it. So I'm satisfied Las Vegas was a false flag attack. I'm satisfied that until I learn any more, I'm going to consider it to be a hybrid where, unfortunately, real people, there were real casualties, real people were killed, but the coverage was very selective. And the imagery that's come down the pike from the corporate media, well, some of it looks fraudulent, some of it looks staged, some of it looks fake, which I think is it's designed to look that way, to, like I said earlier, to drive a lot of these researchers and investigators crazy, right? Because they can't see the forest for the trees. They want to spin their wheels and puff their chests out and feel all self-important because they're noticing this flaw in the official story and that flaw in the official story. And look, this doesn't add up. Well, yeah, I understand all that, right? But what does it mean? Where is it leading up to? And there's a school of thought that says, well, it's really a billionaire boys club. Oh, it's a super class. So even though they may be rattling sabers at each other, these Chinese billionaires rattling their sabers against American billionaires and American billionaires rattling their sabers at Chinese and Russian billionaires, yada, yada, yada. But they'll never allow their nations to go to war with each other because that's bad for business. Here's my problem with that analysis. That they're thinking like humans, right? They're thinking like just greedy humans. Okay, I have my billions and I've invested in my own country, but they don't think in terms of countries, of course. So these billionaires could give a rat's ass, pardon my Anunnaki, about the working classes. There's no middle class in America anymore. It's like a rapidly, vanishing species. Let's say the working poor, and let's say the lower middle class. They could care less about them. They're not in it, these billionaires, to, look out for the welfare of them. And if these military agencies, these federal agencies, and these politicians of the country they happen to reside in is making all these bellicose statements, doing all the saber rattling towards another country, which the billionaires happen to have a lot of investments in, a lot of these people that buy into the whole super class thing, they're saying, oh, well, they're not really going to go to war with each other because, the billionaires of one country are really friends with the billionaires of the other country, and, they just don't want to wreck their own business. Like, it's kind of like a, think of the national board or whatever it was called of the mafia, right? And it was always the Kosher Nostra. It was always Meyer Lansky, before him Arthur Rothstein. And but for purposes to keep them from stumbling over each other and crossing each other up, they had these national committees, commissions, where they would kind of divide up the spoils amongst each other, right? And sure, they had their gangland wars, and but there was never an all-out war between the mafia factions, okay? Now, some would say that, a similar kind of scenario pertains to these billionaires, that they'll never wage war against each other because it's bad for business. Well, maybe not, right? But that doesn't take into account the essential psychopathy and narcissism of these billionaires, which you remember. I mean, a lot of these guys are reptilian Draco hybrids. This is what the surface level types will never understand, Okay, they're still stuck in the surface level, thinking in terms of, economics and thinking in terms of false flags and thinking in terms of, that kind of thing. They don't realize that these rulers of all these different countries are really just hybrids, and mostly hybrids of the wrong kind, reptilian hybrids and Draco hybrids. Radiation may not affect them the way it affects us. Excuse me. Radiation may enhance them, right? So keep that point in mind. Now, you look at some of the video showed by the Western media. I'm sorry. They've been doing a lot of, still doing a lot of chem spraying and stuff around here to make my nose itch. It's affecting the asthma. So, bear with me. I look at the video that's being shown by Western media of all these North Korean rockets like being launched. It just looks so phony, right? It's like a Hollywood Ocean's 11 scenario all over again. But you have a TV news drooler sitting there, oh, those North Koreans and all their nuclear missiles, right? Expanding their influence through, high finance, through building up infrastructure projects throughout the world, Africa, other places, right? But again, we're dealing with a bunch of nihilists. We're dealing with a bunch of crazed psychopaths of all nations, right? So I take small comfort in this notion that, oh, this billionaire boys club will never go to war with each other because it's bad for business. And they don't want to nuke each other's countries because of all the investments they have in these other countries. That's human thinking, right? What these aliens have done in their previous wars have blo they've blown up entire planets. We have a large asteroid belt here in our solar around Earth and around our solar system, rather. That used to be a very large planet. So when we try to think like these leaders, so-called around the world, oh, they'd never go to war, they'd never go to nuclear war, they'd never do this, they'd never do that. They're thinking like humans. Surface level thinker, info war type humans. Oh, hoax, false flags. They're still stuck at that level. Oh, and I mentioned the Philippines earlier. Because apparently there's this Filipino tie-in. Lots of Filipinos in Las Vegas. Doesn't surprise me, right? But I can't help but think, maybe this is the conspiracist in me coming out, right? But Duterte, that Philippine president, I can't remember who he was. I think he called Obama names. He said all kinds of things, and he's basically made a very pronounced tilt towards Russia and China. Basically, saying this to the U.S. wouldn't surprise me at all. Wouldn't surprise me at all if the US media spins it all out like this girlfriend, so-called, of this Paddock guy, right? And it's interesting. I mean, Paddock in places like the UK, Australia, that's a place where you put sheep and cows, right? Like in Americans would think of it in terms of like a pasture, a cow pasture, but in other places, a paddock is a place where you put like domesticated animals, right? And that's the name of this patsy, Paddock, if memory serves. I could be wrong there. But the girlfriend, right? What if the same media that's screaming for gun control, what if they spin it out so that the Philippine girlfriend of the alleged the patsy, let's say, the lone wolf patsy. What if they come up with some bogus tie-in that this woman, this Philippine woman in the Philippines, has got some connection to ISIS or, these terrorist cells over there or whatever? And oh, not even that. Just somehow make this wild claim that the Philippine president who said F you to the US, right? That Duterte somehow is involved right? As a state sponsor of terrorism. Like, if you think that's crazy and it's laughable, all of this is crazy and laughable. 16 years after 9/11, and people still choose to cling on to the official story. That's crazy and laughable. All these people just immediately buying into the official story of Las Vegas. That's crazy and laughable. So why would, this weird Philippine tie-in, which came out of left field, literally, right? Why should that be regarded as odd if suddenly they spin it out like, on the one hand, the woman was part of some ISIS, Abu Sayyaf, whatever, terrorist, Muslim terrorist group in the Philippines, or that she's somehow connected to the oligarchs, so-called, or the cronies around President Duterte, which makes President Duterte a state sponsor of terrorism, right? So they get, two things out of one, right? Instead of a single base hit, they get a double. They get it advances their gun control agenda domestically, and it allows them to expand, their foreign wars, this time against the Philippines. And by extension, because anytime you mess with the Philippines, that's a hotly contested area, which includes the Chinese, right? So let's see how that plays out. Yeah, and it may not seem like there's any relevance to it, but the whole Yom Kippur thing, I couldn't help but thinking, man, Yom Kippur is coming up. I'm kind of worried, like, what's going to happen next, right? Because in my mind, I was thinking about all this stuff, the taking the US dollar off the gold standard, the petrodollar recycling scheme, the Yom Kippur War, the Arab oil embargo was jacked up oil prices, which had been relatively stable for a long time, and which the media used to demonize OPEC and the Arabs in general. Meanwhile, the Rothschild Zionists were laughing all the way to the bank because of the huge spike in gas prices and oil prices. They made money hand over fist again, right? And they had the added bonus of heaping blame on the Arabs, right? So that all happened in 73. And then he had, sorry, I keep itching. My nose keeps itching. My eyes are kind of watery too. Oh, this chem spraying agenda. And then, not too long after that, you have the Reagan years and the practically unlimited military spending, right? Which all that was cumulative. It all had a cumulative effect of driving more and more stakes into the U.S. economy, right? To the point now where they actually set up this other financial system, the BRICS set up. If and when the U.S. financial system, the petrodollar, goes belly up, which is only a matter of time. So, I know I've been meandering and going here and there and making all these different points, but I myself am trying to make sense of all this. I'm in a sense, I'm just thinking out loud, you know what I mean? So please bear with me, right? And also, I want to thank you for your patience because it's a learning curve going from audio podcast, which we're still going to do audio podcasts once in a while because sometimes, we're just compelled by circumstances or whatever to do so. But generally, we're going to be moving in this video direction and we're going to be doing, more video interviews, teleconferencing, webinars, and also on the spot field investigations, on the spot interviews, et cetera. That's where we're heading towards. And I'm excited about it, a lot of other stuff going on. And we've only got 24 hours a day, and this illusionary time frequency is speeding up, and it's like days, hours, days, and weeks just fly by, and pretty soon, whammo, it's we're into October and all this other stuff. So thank you for being patient, and I do apologize for not getting the interview with Scott Torrance out sooner. And we're really gonna make an effort to get him out in a timely fashion. I want to give a special shout out to my colleagues in the Cosmic Switchboard, Teresa Tucker, who just came on board not too long ago, Dean, Wolfhawk. They've all done a fantastic job, and I want to give a special shout out to them. So yeah, a lot's been going on, and we can be forgiven for momentarily being caught in the headlights and WTF, but it cycles back to the point I made earlier. But where do we go from here, right? Instead of spinning our wheels and finding more proof that this is a false flag, and I'm a historian by nature. I want to know everything about everything, and I'm thankful for these people that are doing all this work. I'm not marginalizing or being dismissive of their efforts, because I think it'll be very valuable further down the pike when we can look back with the benefit of hindsight. Now, yeah, we got all this great research by all these, diligent researchers and investigators, and here's what collectively what we've all put together, and which makes a convincing case that everything has been a lie, right? Harry Truman said something to the effect that nothing in history is new except that which you don't know, or something, or words to that effect, which I thought was profound. But they're pushing the gun control agenda big time. Now, supposedly, even the NRA has chimed in. I guess they're more open to gun control. And the critics of the NRA have said all along that these people were just basically sleepers, that one day they would rise up and do an about face. Right? Part of his campaign promise was to leave Americans and their guns alone. Let's face it, folks, there's not that many crazy people in America that would do something like this. This is what the dummies don't understand. It's like they think that these psychos that just go around wiping, large masses of people out, they just grow on trees and eventually they ripen and fall, and then they just pop up with an assault weapon, right? And they just go running off in every direction, shooting the place up. No, these are all deep state false flag events. And quite frankly, I'm surprised at the naivete, the dangerous naivete of a lot of people who seem to think that, the problem lies in the fact that Americans have too many guns. It's the cops that are going around shooting everybody. It's the psycho black ops that are doing all these things. See, when I first heard of Vegas, I thought of Mumbai, that black ops massacre when these European-looking mercenaries are going around blasting everybody in Mumbai, right? That's the first thing I thought about. And hey, you want to talk massacres? Let's talk the Cheyenne massacre. Let's talk about the Lakota massacre. Let's not just limit it to what happened here, right? Where do we go from here? Well, now that even the NRA is, I guess, open to gun control, surprise, surprise. And I talked about, during the hurricane commentaries a few weeks back about how these artificially generated hurricanes paves the way, opens the door for gun control, basically. And now they're saying, oh, any automatic, semi-automatic can be converted, and then we're going to have a replay of what happened in Vegas, yada, yada, yada. No, can't happen. But doesn't matter. The facts don't count. Because once again, they're using emotion, they're using fear to herd everybody, right? Herd everybody down this chute, into this huge slaughterhouse. Remember, Bill Ayer said, oh, we're going to take out at least 2 million people. They had him dead to rights. There was an FBI agent in place when Ayers was making all these terroristic statements saying he wanted to blow up this place and blow up that base. Nothing ever happened to him. Why? Because he was a protected species. He was a cultural Marxist revolutionary. Protected species, hands off, right? So when he talks about, oh, we're going to kill at least 2 million Americans, he wasn't just whistling Dixie. And look at the symbolism as we weave our way through all this too. Charlottesville, right? Tearing down statues of Robert E. Lee and Then the hurricanes hit. Just one thing after another. It's like, look up the definition of a cur, CUR, right? It's someone's like, because they're always beaten so much that they just flinch at the merest kind of, movement by their master. Or it's like a dog or an animal that's been beaten relentlessly every time, like the psychopath human, like just so much as like makes the slightest move, that dog is pissing itself and, cowering in the corner and whimpering. That's what's happened to all these people. That's what's happened to them. And then when you hold up a mirror to them and say, "Why are you just parroting what the lamestream media is saying? Can't you formulate your own opinion about this?" They don't have an answer for that, because you're speaking a different language. You might as well be speaking like Anunnaki to them or something, right? Because these are people that they can't read. They're functionally illiterate. And it's high time that, philosophically, psychologically, you just kick these people to the curb. You can't do anything for them, right? They're just like an anchor tying you down, like an albatross hanging around your neck. They'll laugh at you and call you a prepper psycho because you're storing provisions and keeping water and guns and ammunition. But then, after 2 days of having their basic services cut, guess what? They're either going to be kicking down your door to get your water and your provisions, or they're going to be calling the cops saying, "Yes, master, yes." It's like they have water, they have like food, they have guns and ammo, right? They'd be like a Chinese coolie who's just been like beaten into a cur. "Yes, boss. Yes, boss. Sure, boss. Yes, boss." They'll do anything for the little bones that their masters will throw at them. Because psychologically, they're whipped curs. They really are. I mean, you really can't look at them as being human in a way. They become such empty vessels. If you look at how self-sufficient people were in the old days, now I've looked at some of those exams, those study exams, those tests that were given to like seventh graders back in the 19 early part of the ni the 20th century. It was like, I don't even know a fraction of these answers, right? It was like they were real mind twisters. And they spoke better English back then, far better than me, far better than most people today. And it wasn't this verbose, pretentious, wordy kind of thing. It was like they were really, really switched on. Not many people realize it, but a lot of young people in the 1920s, they knew all about this stuff. The fiat, Federal Reserve scam, the transnational corporation scam, the false flag scam. They did a lot more than people give them credit for, because they were well read back then, and then the media wasn't totally bought out by that point in America anyway. So keep your eyes focused on what's really important. Yes, let's take the time to pause and feel, pay homage and honor. The people who unfortunately had to die in all this, right? And all the other false flags. But let's look at the bigger picture. And not, a problem that a lot of people have in this field is they can't see the forest for the trees. They suffer what I call information constipation. They get all blocked up. They go to InfoWars and they just read all these articles and they get all hopeless and, and they get all bummed out and, despairing, right? And that's very common, actually. And what we're seeing is we're seeing a very clear division. Oh, you know what? If you don't think there have been real casualties at Las Vegas or at Manchester, unfriend me now. Or conversely, oh, if you think there were really people killed in Vegas, if you think there were really people killed in Manchester, those were just hoax, unfriend me now. I'm talking Facebook lingo here. And that's what they want, because Facebook is just friggin' AI anyway. Robotically. And I was like this too, folks. Like, share, share, share. And there's an element of ego involved. Of course there is. Oh, I just shared to the people on my news feed, to my Facebook friends. I'm fighting the info war. I shared an article that none of them have ever read before. And people get all puffed out by their self-importance or their sense of self-importance. Because it makes us feel good to know things, doesn't it? It makes us feel good and self-important to, hey, I'm fighting the New World Order by clicking like and sharing all these posts and, creating a constant stream of hopelessness and despair and, you know what I mean? Thoughts are things in the spirit world, folks. I mean, it's important that we know these things, but we don't want to wallow in despair either. You come across some of these info warriors that spend all our time in info wars, you're talking about some of the most depressed, bummed out people you'll ever meet, right? And they don't even know the half of it. They're just surface level types, right? They don't even believe in aliens because they're somehow smart enough to think they don't exist, right? Keep your eyes focused on what's really important. There's a celestially driven timetable that the powers that be are adhering to. They didn't build all these underground doomsday bunkers, because the financial system was going to collapse. Okay, that's ridiculous. There's something else going on. And even if that really big something isn't till like 2030, well, you know what, folks? 2030 will get here in no time. 9/11 was 16 years ago. And I think there's been some time manipulation in the since then, right? That either contracted or expanded certain periods of time since 9/11 happened. All this time manipulation and Mandela effect crap that's going on, pardon my Anunnaki, right? So we just got to roll with it, make our adjustments on the fly. That's what makes us different from all the rest, folks. We're not maladaptive. We're not like bound by all these rigid ideologies and dogmas. When we realize that some of the beliefs and truisms we held dear are bogus and don't hold any water, we go, oh yeah, it's unfortunate. I believed that in one time. And then just turn the page and move on. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't, I believed before that I know are complete lies now, right? I voted for some of these psychos back in the old days. I voted for George the Elder, for crying out loud, right? I mean, how embarrassing is that? So we just got to roll with it, folks, and recognize that, as time goes on, they're going to be pulling more of these Las Vegas style massacres, and I mean, it's really sad, but the fact of the matter is, people are ignorant of real history. They believe only what they're told to believe, right? But there's a lot more going on than just the surface level. Always keep that in mind. There's a lot of things in the spiritual planes that are in a flux state. The portals are opening up. All kinds of things are going on. And as more and more of these portals open up, more and more people get taken up as hosts. More and more mayhem ensues. More and more craziness ensues. Even more of a reason to stay in our own sanctuary bubble, where we're, for the most part, always in a state of inner harmony and contentment and serenity, no matter what's going on around us. There's nothing wrong with being knowledgeable and recognizing the reality of this multiple threat environment in which we reside. The problems arise when we wallow in it, right? And there's nothing wrong with us coming on here and talking about these things. Detached to a point, to a degree, we are in this world, but not of it. Okay, we're here to do a job. It sounds like a cliche, but it's not. And a lot of people that I'm in comma with understand that. Anyhow, we reached the end of this segment of Bartley's commentaries on the cosmic wars. And wherever you may be, dear listeners, whatever you may be doing, please have a very pleasant time. We'll see you next.